We're holding the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We'll start with the two dots again. And basically what we're going to see today, and maybe also tomorrow, because we're short on time today, what we're going to see is the following. There were two prophecies indicating when the Jews would be redeemed. One prophecy by the Navi Yirmiyahu, by the prophet Jeremiah, said that when Babylon has filled 70 years, God will collect us. There's another prophecy which says when Jerusalem, with the destructions of Jerusalem, will fill 70 years, God will regather us. And our Gemara is going to focus on the different kings in history who tried to figure out when the 70 years were up. The first one was Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He thought the 70 years were up, so he made a party that night, took out the vessels of the temple, and then the godly hand appeared and wrote on the wall that he would be destroyed. And that night he was killed, and the Babylonian Empire was destroyed. The Persian Mede Empire attacked, and it was all destroyed. So he was the first to err in assuming he knew when the 70 years were up. And then Ahasuerus did the math, and he was sure the years were up, and he erred. And then Daniel did the math, and he was sure the 70 years were up, and he erred. And finally, God tells us when the 70 years were really up, how we were supposed to count them. Now, we'll see. We'll go step by step, and we'll go with the Gemara, seeing the different numbers. We'll write them down, and if you guys want to review them, so online, together with the verses, you have all the math in the summary on Megillas Esther, including the verses of Jeremiah and Daniel, and all the verses you need to understand this with the... it's all there on TorahForMe.org in the file on Esther. Okay. Introduction to Esther, or Esther Calculations of Redemption, something like that. Okay, so the Megillah tells us, in the beginning of the story of Megillah's Esther, it says, "Bayamim ahem, in those days, Keshevet HaMelech, when the king sat comfortably on his throne, V'chtiv Batrei," and then after that it says, "Bishnat Shalosh Nemolcho," 3 years into his reign. Well, which one was it? When he took the throne, or when he was king for 3 years? When did he make this party? Amar Rava. So Rava explained, "Mai Kesheves," what does it mean when he sat on his throne? "Lachar shenit yashva da'ato," when he calmed down, he figured, that's it, the 70 years are over, the Jews are never going to be redeemed, I will be the eternal king. Remember, the king Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the temple, had a dream. And in that dream, he saw that there would be four kingdoms, and those four kingdoms would be wiped out when the Mashiach comes. Any king that hears that his kingdom is finite is going to be unhappy about it. And if the threat is the Jew, so then he wants to ensure the Jew is never going to be redeemed again. So Ahasuerus, when he sees the Jews aren't redeemed, he says, okay, God's been fed up with them. So I might be king forever. My dynasty might be eternal. So when the 3 years were up, then he calmed down. Why? Because his myth, according to his myth, the 70 years were up and God hadn't redeemed the Jews. And that's why he made a party where he too used the vessels of the temple. He said, it's over. There will no longer be a rebuilding of the temple. The Jews are not going to be God's chosen nation anymore. So how did that work? Omar, Ahasuerus said to himself, Belshazzar, the Babylonian king Belshazzar, Choshav, he calculated the 70 years v'to, and he erred in his calculation. Ani chashivno, ano chashivno, I calculated ve'lo to'ino, and I did not err. The 70 years are up, I can party. Mayhi, how does all this work? Dichsiv, because the verse says, the Navi Yirmiyahu tells the Jews, go settle down in Chutz Laaretz, go settle down in Babylon, it's going to take a while before you come back. Go buy houses, settle down, because you ain't coming back until Ki lefi melot lebavel shivim shana efkodetchem. When Babylon has its fill of 70 years, I will remember you, I will regather you, I will bring you back. V'chtiv, and the verse says in Daniel, limnot lechovot Yerushalayim 70 shana. When Jerusalem's destruction will complete 70 years, then you will be regathered. Chashuv, he calculated, 45 Nebuchadnezzar. Figured, Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years. He established the Babylonian Empire. So Belshazzar said, if Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45... And his son Evel Merodach was king for 23. Yeah. And 2 years of Belshazzar. It all adds up to the grand total of 70. So he figures the Babylonian Empire has been around for 70 years. And the Jews haven't been redeemed. God said, when Babylon fills its 70 years, I will redeem you. They haven't been redeemed. So he partied. Hashivim. He said, okay, Belshazzar figured that total 70. So it's over. God hasn't gathered them. He's forsaken the Jews. Apik mane debe magdish avishtamishbu. He took out the vessels of the temple and used them. He said, it's over. The temple is never going to be rebuilt. How do we know that Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years? Because we have the following quote. When Nebuchadnezzar took over the Jews, so he came in his military campaign and conquered Jerusalem. And he exiled the leaders of Jerusalem, and he appointed a new king, and he said, don't rebel against me. And then that king rebelled, and then Nebuchadnezzar came back, and they had another war, and then finally he took over Jerusalem again, and then he exiled everyone completely. So the first exile, Galu, they went into exile, B'sheva Galu B'shmone. They went into exile in the 7th year, they went into exile in the 8th year. So what does that mean, that the first exile was 7 and 8 years? It goes as follows. Nebuchadnezzar came up in his first military campaign when he was second year of his reign. And he conquered Yoyakim. And he told Yoyakim, don't rebel against me. I control Jerusalem, I will leave you on your throne. That was in Nebuchadnezzar's second year. Okay? So Nebuchadnezzar, year one, conquers Nineveh, conquers the Assyrian Empire, Year two, he conquers Yoyakim, Jerusalem. He tells them, don't rebel. They don't listen. They rebel. And 3 years they're faithful. 3 years they rebel. Finally, Nebuchadnezzar comes back and kicks them out in his 8th year. He conquers Jerusalem the second time and exiles all the leaders. He said, I trusted you the first time. You rebelled. For 3 years we were good. After 3 years we rebelled. He comes back, conquers Jerusalem second time, exiles everyone. Now, that 8th year, when he exiled everyone, was the 7th year after his first conquest of Jerusalem, because he conquered Jerusalem in his 2nd year. It was the 8th year to his reign. So Galu, the Jewish people, went into exile B'sheva, 7 years after the first time he conquered Jerusalem. Galu B'shmoneh, they went to exile 8 years into Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Galu b'shmonaisre, galu b'tchaisre. Remember, they rebelled, and 11 years later, he came back and exiled us, which was the 19th year of his reign. Year 19, he conquers Jerusalem a third time and exiles everyone, and then destroys the temple. And that was really 18 years after the first time he conquered Jerusalem. Because he conquered Jerusalem the first time in his 2nd year. So our exile, the second exile, meaning he conquered Jerusalem in the second year of his reign, in the eighth year, and in the 19th year. He conquered us in the second year, and he left Jehoiakim king. Jehoiakim rebelled after 3 years. He reconquered Jerusalem in his eighth year, exiled all the leaders, exiled the Harsh and the Masker, the locksmiths. Chazal say that's an allusion to the rabbis, to the leaders. So he exiled all the leaders in the eighth year, left common folk in Jerusalem. They rebelled. And then, 11 years later, he comes back and exiles everyone and destroys Jerusalem. So Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem in the second year, the eighth year, and the 19th year of his reign. Now, we also count from the time of his first conquest of Jerusalem. So we say he conquered Jerusalem in his second year, and then in the 7 years later, and then 17 years later. It was 7 years from the conquest, and 17 years from the conquest, from the first conquest. Yes? It was 18 years, I'm sorry. 7 and 18. 7 years from the first conquest was his eighth year of reign, and 18 years was his 19th year of reign.
So you get 7 and 18, and the eighth one and the 19th.
Correct. So we asked, how do you know that Nebuchadnezzar ruled for 45 years? Damar Mar. Because we were taught, Galu b'sheva, Galu b'shmone. They went into exile 7 years from the first conquest, which was really 8 years into Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And then the final exile was Galu. They went into the final exile, Bishmonesle, 18 years from his first conquest of Jerusalem, which was technically Galu B'chasle, which was technically the 19th year of his reign. Galu B'sheva, they went into exile 7 years, Likibush Yoyakim, from the time that Jehoiakim, the Judean king, was conquered from his first conquest of Jerusalem. Galut Yoyachin. So then Jehoiakim was exiled, Shishmone l'Nebuchadnezzar, which was 8 years into Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Galu b'shmonesle l'kibush Yoyachin. They went into exile 18 years after the initial conquest of Jerusalem, where he conquered Jehoiakim. That was Galut Tzidkiyahu, the exile of Tzidkiyahu, our last king, Shichasle l'Nebuchadnezzar, which was Nebuchadnezzar's 19th year. Or we have another quote. Shana Rishona Kivesh Ninveh. In Nebuchadnezzar's first year, he conquered Ninveh. Shniya Kivesh Yoyakim. In his second year, he conquered Yoyakim. V'chtivin it says, V'hi b'shloshim v'sheva shana legalut Yoyakim melech Yehuda. V'shneim asachol shbesim chamsha lachodesh nasa v'lmon lach melech Bavel b'shnat malchuto et rosh Yoyakim melech Yehuda v'yotze oto mibet hakele. It says, 37 years after Yoyachin's exile, so the new king, Evel Merodach, took him out of jail. So you do the math. When was Yoyachin conquered? 7 years, right? He was conquered, Tamnevet Latin Vesheva, 38 plus 7, Nebuchadnezzar. So that's how you get 45 years that Nebuchadnezzar was king. Now, how do you get the 23 years of Evel Merodach? How do we know Evel Merodach was king for 23 years? V'esrin v'tlat Evel Merodach Gemara. We have it on tradition that Evel Merodach was king for 23 years. V'talti didei, and we know it says in Daniel that Belshazzar was king for 2 years and then he made this party. Hashivin, so you come up with 70. That's how Belshazzar figured 70 years. Amal, Belshazzar said, he figured, Hashta Vadai Tulo Mifriki. Now, for sure, they won't be redeemed anymore. Apik Mani Debe Makdisha Vishtamishbu. So he took out the vessels of the temple and used them. Hainu Dikamale Daniel, that's what Daniel tells him. when they see the writing on the wall, they can't figure out what it means. Belshazzar's feet are trembling and he's scared and his face is ashen and he doesn't know what to do. And his wife says, your father had a brilliant advisor named Daniel. Why don't you call him in? So they call in Daniel and Daniel reads the writing on the wall. And he turns to him and he says, You had the goal to rise up against the Master in heavens. And the vessels of his home, the vessels of the temple they brought before you, and you drank from it, and your dogs drank from it. You had the goal to deride the temple's vessels this way. And the verse says, and that night, Belshazzar the king was killed. So we know Belshazzar was king for 2 years. So far, so good. We're continuing the math.
Was the reading from the writing on the wall only something Daniel could read, or was it a specific language of only Daniel could read, or was it like special?
It's Rat Shem. In 4 weeks, we'll be doing the Book of Daniel. 3 or 4 weeks, we'll discuss it then. The simple understanding is it was written going down. Meaning it wasn't written across. They were trying to read across, and the writing was written going down, like Chinese, yeah? It said, Mene, Tekelu, Parsin, but the words were written going downward in three lines. So they didn't know how to read it. Okay. Well, there was no break between the words.
We don't want to try another way.
It's like Chinese.
They try to put an enigmatic puzzle on the wall. You try it. There we go. They try reading. No?
Okay, maybe. When we get there and you see how it was written, then you'll see if it's so hard. We'll see. Okay. Dichtiv. And then the verse says, so we have so far 2 years of Belshazzar, 23 of Evel Merodach, 45 of Nebuchadnezzar. So far, so good. Dichtiv. And it says, V'dayav shmadak ben malchuta kvar shnin shtin shitin v'taltin. And Dariavish the Mede was king for 20 Shitin v'taltin. I don't remember. Let me look up the pasuk. I don't remember. Let me see yours. Thank you. It says in the pasuk, and the Yavish, the need. It says in the pasuk, received the kingship at the age of 62. And then we do the math from there. The Yavish received the throne at age 62, and off of that age 62, we calculate how many years Dariavish was king. We'll see in a second. Amar, so Achashverosh said to himself, Ihu mitaitai Belshazzar heir. Anachashiv navlotein, I'll do the math, I won't err. Miktiv lemalchut Babel. Did Jeremiah said the kingdom of Babylon will have to have 70 years before it's destroyed? Lebabel ktiv. It says that Babylon will have 70 years before the Jews will be redeemed. What does it mean Babylon will have 70 years? My lebabel gavlut Babel. He must have meant the Babylonian exile will have to have had 70 years and then I'll redeem you. So, Kamabatzin Tamne. He said, how many years are left? 8 years. Nebuchadnezzar Achashverosh figures, if we're going to calculate from the Babylonian exile, well, the Babylonian exile started when Yoyachin was exiled. Yechonio, in the 8th year. He's in error, because really he should be counting from year 19. But he figures, maybe I must count from here, from year number 8. So he says, I got to subtract 8 years from his calculation. Right? 8 years later, if they're not redeemed, it's over. So, what does he do? Chashiv ayil chilufayu. He did the math, stuck in the years in exchange. Chada de Belshazzar, one more year for Belshazzar, because Belshazzar made the party in his 3rd year. V'chamesh de doyavish, 5 years Darius that took over the throne after Belshazzar. V'koresh and Koresh, Dariavish plus Koresh's son-in-law. plus Tati Didei, 2 years of Achashverosh's reign. The figure is okay. That equals the 8 years that are missing. 1 + 5 + 2. It says, if so, Hashivin, we've hit the number 70 again. Kivan de Chazi de Malu Shivin velo Yifu. You saw they hit the 70, they weren't redeemed. Amar Hashta Vadai Tulomifriki. He says, okay, God's not taking them back. So he took out the vessels of the temple and used them illegitimately. God did not do a replay of what happened by Belshazzar. God punished him differently. What did God do? The Satan came along, started dancing in the party. They're all dancing, the Satan's dancing. And what does he do? He gets Achashverosh drunk and riled up. And he murders Vashti, his wife. So the Gemara says, wait a second, wait a second, didn't he do a good calculation? Why? Where was Achashverosh? He should have counted from the final exile, from the destruction of Jerusalem. So the Gemara says, okay, so how many years are we missing? We're missing 11 years, right? He counted from 8, he should have counted from 19. So we're short 11 years. What happened 11 years later? How many years was he king? 14 years. In his 14th year, he should have built the temple. If you're telling me the calculation should have been from here, from Jerusalem's destruction, so in his last year, in the 14th year, then you've filled 70 years from Jerusalem's destruction. They should have rebuilt the temple then. How come in Achshverosh's last year they didn't rebuild the temple? Alam Maktiv, then why does it say in the book of Ezra, the work of the temple was disrupted until after Achshverosh took Koresh, till the time of Koresh? Amar Rava, Rava explained, your math is wrong. All these years are rounded years. Meaning the king's years, they don't begin in January. These are rounded years. Each king counted from his own inauguration. You have overlaps in these years. These aren't 70 complete years. And therefore, Shani Mekuta'ot Havu, these were years that had overlap. Each king decided when his kingdom begins and when from when he counts the year to his own kingdom. And there are overlaps between the years. Meaning, Nebuchadnezzar did not rule for a complete 45 years. So part of Nebuchadnezzar's 45th year is the first year of Evel Merodach. Evel Merodach did not rule for a complete 23 years. So part of his 23 is part of Belshazzar's 2, etc. So you're missing some years here. Tanya Namiochi, we have a brisa like this. There was 1 year left that they had to fill to Babylon after Achashverosh's death. Then Darius the Mede filled in that year, and then God really redeemed us. So that's the equation. Rava says Daniel too did the math and erred in figuring the math. Dichtiv, for the verse says, Bishnat achat lemolcho ani Daniel binoti basfarim. In year one to his reign, I, Daniel, looked over the books. Midkamal binoti, from the fact that it says he took a close look, means he had to reanalyze because he was in error. Mikol makom. So you see that Daniel too tried to do the math, and it didn't work for him. Then God explained to him that he had error. Mikol makom kashikai adadi. Nonetheless, the verses seem to contradict one another. Ktiv. When God speaks to Jeremiah, he says, "Lot levavel, Babylon will fill their 70 years, and then the redemption will come." V'chtiv in the verse says, "Lechovot Yerushalayim," when the ruins of Jerusalem will fill 70 years, then I will redeem you. Amar Rava, "Lifkida be'alma." When the pasuk says that at the end of 70 years of Babylon, God will redeem them. It doesn't say He will redeem them. It says, "Ifkod etchem, I will remember you." And that's in fact what happened. 70 years after Babylon took rule, so then Koresh the king allowed us to go and rebuild the temple. That rebuilding did not last. But God, so to speak, remembered us. God allowed us to lay the foundations of the temple. God says, when Babylon fills its 70 years, I will remember you. I'll give you an indication that I'm still with you. That indication was that the Persian king Koresh said, whatever Jew wants to go and rebuild the temple could go. A short time later, the building was prohibited by the government. They stopped the building. Ahasuerus stopped the building. But the Pkidah, the remembrance, really happened 70 years after Babylon took power. And that's what the verse says. That's what the verse says. When Koresh took the throne, he sent word and said, so says Koresh, the Persian king. God gave me control of all the kingdoms on earth, and he told me to build his house in Jerusalem. So we see that, and then he said, and so whatever Jew wants to go may go. So that God promised that when Babylon fills its 70 years, he will remember us. God fulfilled it as such. Darash of Nachman bar Rav Chisda. Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Chisda, darshan the following. My dichti, what does the verse mean when it says, Ko amar Hashem limshicho lekoresh asher zakti bimino. So says God to Koresh. And this is a fantastic verse. Decades before Koresh is born, decades before the Persian Empire takes control of the Jews, the prophet Isaiah prophesies, God calls out to his anointed one, Koresh. So this is a fantastic verse. We don't find such a thing often. That a prophet speaks decades in advance and calls someone by name and says, God has anointed you. You have a job in this world. You have to rebuild the temple. V'chi Koresh Mashiach haya. Koresh, was he the Messiah? What does it mean the prophet calls out to Koresh, the anointed one, the Messiah? But rather God turns to the Messiah, so to speak, and says, Kovel ani lechal Koresh. I want to complain to you about Koresh. God turns to the Messiah and says, you, the Messiah, you're going to rebuild the temple the way you should. You know what happened in history when I asked someone else to do it? Ko amar Hashem, so says God, Limshicho, to his real anointed one. He says, I want to tell you about Le Koresh, what Koresh did. I gave him a job to rebuild the temple. Ani amalti hu yivne beiti. I said, Koresh has a job to rebuild the temple. V'ikbots galuyotai and gather my exiles, the diaspora. V'hu amar, and Koresh didn't take the job. Koresh said, okay, Jews, you can go rebuild the temple. Whoever wants can go. Mivachem mikol amo ve'yal. Whoever wants can go. God says, I made you king so that you go and rebuild the temple. You, Koresh, had the capacity to be the leader. No, you didn't do that. You said, we're going to have an open door policy. Whoever wants can go. Jews, whoever wants to go rebuild the temple, could go. So God says about Koresh, I have a complaint. He could have done so much more. His job in this world was to do so much more. When God says, so says God to his anointed one, to Koresh, there has to be a pause. So says God to his anointed one, to Mashiach. About Koresh, I have a complaint. That's how Chazal darshan this pasuk. Okay, now we finished the math, and we're back to the story. So the Gemara continues analyzing the story of Purim. Should we pause here or continue?
Let's continue.
Okay, so he made a party, and it says, who did he invite to the party? Chel parasu madai hapartamim. He invited the army, he invited the partumim. Seems like it's a pretty low affair, you know, if you're inviting all your soldiers. Doesn't seem like it's such a respectable affair. V'chtiv, and then the verse describes it as, L'malchei madayu faras. It was a party for the kings of Mede and Persia. Well, which one was it? Was it a high-class affair or a low-class affair? Amarava atnuye atne badayu. The question is also, when he describes the army, he describes it as the army of the Persians and Medes. And when he describes the kings, he describes the kings of Mede and Persia. Well, which one's first? Who had control? Persia or Mede? Sometimes they're described as Persia and Mede. Seemingly Persia is the empire. Sometimes they're described as Mede and Persia. Which one is in control? So Rava says, Atnui atnu ba'adadi, they made a deal. Iminan malchi, if we supply the king, minaychu ifrachi, you supply his second in command. If we have the president, you have the vice president. And if you supply the president, the king, we supply the vice president. It didn't last long. This deal, as most deals in history, it didn't last long. We only find one meat king. Darius the Mede. But that's okay, because Koresh the Persian was a son-in-law. So it stayed in the family. But this deal didn't last long, it says in Josephus. Okay. It says, Achashverosh made the party. When he showed the wealth of the glory, the honor of his kingdom. This teaches us that he wore the garments of the Kohen. What does it mean? How do we know? By Achashverosh it says he showed off the glory of his greatness. And over there it says that the clothing of the Kohen was for glorification. So if we have the word glory by Achashverosh, it means he donned the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. He got dressed up like the Kohen Gadol. He wore, you know what fine gold they used to make the Kohen Gadol's, what's it called, the thing that went on his forehead? They used gold that was as fine as it almost melted in your hands. A lot of things. They had strings of gold in the garment of the Kohen Gadol. So you're talking about very, very expensive clothing. It says when these days were up, he made another party for the inhabitants of the capital. Rav and Shmuel were in disagreement. One says he was a smart king, one says he was a stupid king. The one who says he was smart, he says it was a smart idea to make a party first for those who are furthest away. Because those who live next to him, who live in the capital, he could always make them happy. He'll give them treats, he'll make them happy, he could always make up with them. The one who says he was stupid, because intelligence would dictate you first get the people who live closest to you to be your friends. First be friendly to them. Because if there's a rebellion from the outside, from the other ones who are further away, then at least the people in his capital would stick to him. So logic would dictate, first make sure you get them happy with you. And now we're up to a very famous Gemara, a discussion of why was there a decree for annihilation during the days of Haman and of Esther. And this Gemara is key to the understanding of the Megillah. Why was it that the Megillah happened? What did we do to deserve such a decree? And that is the question that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's students ask him. And he tells them, you tell me. And then the Gemara analyzes different answers. We're out of time. We'll pick up here, Bezachim, tomorrow night.